Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Most sexual assaults go unreported. At Sarnco, we believe, empower, and advocate for all survivors. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted and needs support, call 844-644-6435. 844-644-6435. At Sarnco, we're here for you.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Welcome to Knife Talk, the only podcast for anybody interested in knives, whether you're a collector, a maker, whatever you are. This is the only one. The only one.
Bold.
Hosted by myself, Craig Lockwood. And this show would be nothing without my esteemed colleagues, Jeff Fader of Fader Knives and Mareko Momasi of Momasi Fire Arts. How are you guys?
I'm good.
This is going to be fun.
I'm expecting some fun this episode. We've had a few people try to call us already. So for those who don't know, we've now got a live feature so people can call in live. We should have some fun. Let's hope so anyway. Let's hope so. So this week, what's been going on? Mareko, what have you been up to?
Ah, oh, this week. I almost killed one of my neighbors this week. That was really cool. We got a phone call.
We got a phone call. Just a second.
All right.
Johnny, you're live on the show. What have you got to say?
Damn. I want to say hello to every knife maker that listens and to have a good day.
Wow.
I don't have many things to say. Yeah.
Okay.
Where are you listening to us from?
I'm listening in from Greece.
Greece?
Oh. Greece.
Nice.
Awesome.
Nice. What kind of knives do you make, Johnny?
I was making chef knives, but I had to stop due to COVID because money and stuff.
Yeah, right. Yes.
But, yeah.
Cool. You're our first caller. Congratulations.
Really?
You are our first caller. But with that, we've got four other people waiting on the line. So, Johnny, we're going to have to dump you. See you later.
Thanks, Johnny. Well, should we do a little talking before we get these people on? Otherwise, it's going to be just like...
Shall we? Yeah.
Just ramming them in.
Yeah. Mareko, sorry.
Well, you were about to kill your... You're just about to say that you almost killed your neighbors.
Yeah, I have a minor beef with my own driving this week. I don't know. So I live at a dead end road, and the traffic down there usually.
Justin Lamour is trying to get online. Should we let him on?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Let's hear it.
Justin.
Yeah, how are you doing?
We're good. You are our second caller of the day already. What's up?
Oh, awesome.
What can we help you with?
Hey, I wanted to promote in
Canada. Whoa, hey, what are you promoting?
Whoa. We got the Oscar playoff music
come on,
here.
Guys.
No promotions on this show, I'm afraid, unless
wait
he's paying
second,
us.
No,
Wait, before
you take the call, we have to tell the listeners. I want to say to the listeners who call, if we give you the hook, take the hook with dignity and honor.
We've got
take it with dignity
JD
and
Custom
honor.
Lines on the JD Custom Knives on the phone. JD, how are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
We're good.
What's going on?
We're good. We're being inundated with calls at the moment. How are things? You good?
Yeah, I'm doing well over here. You already drinking?
Oh yeah, it's evening here. Oh yeah.
What's going on? What can we do? What can we do for you?
Hey, I got a question about quench oils, the importance of using the right quench oil and how much that's going to actually affect the outcome. And I'll preface it by, so I had some ADCRV that went south on me this week, and I've been trying to figure out what I did wrong. And I was using Parks 50, which is a fast quench oil. And in doing some reading and stuff, it looks like I should have been using a slower oil. So I'm just curious. I've read mixed things about the importance of it and if it actually makes a difference. Wanted to know your guys' thoughts.
Mareko, over to you. ATCLV, quench oils.
I think Laren Thomas would say you definitely got to use the right oil or bath for quenching your particular steels. And so, yeah, like you said, it's a slower quenching steel. You should try to use either AAA quenching oil, which is also made by Parks. You could probably even get away with canola oil if you're in a pinch. But usually those slower oils, as a quick tip, you want to heat them up a bit first. They operate at a higher temperature. You got to get them up to about 120 degrees before they're kind of in their optimal operating range. If it's too cold, a lot of people think colder is better, but it's not. So you got to get that oil kind of thinned out by heating it up some before you do your quenching.
Okay. Yeah, I'd asked Laren, and he actually was the one that said he didn't think it was going to actually make a difference. But I just don't know what else could have gone wrong as far as, I mean, it's the same recipe that I've used. So
sure.
I just wasn't sure.
I guess.
Here's the walk-off music. I'm afraid your time is up.
Bye-bye.
My only follow-up to that, I would be concerned that he maybe didn't soak the material long enough to get it all to completely transform to austenite before then quenching. You definitely want a solid soak of about 10 to 15 minutes.
Right, we got another call here from Justin Lamour.
Yeah, let's do it.
He's already been on one. Let's decline him.
Now,
sorry,
Mareko,
you were interrupted. Your neighbors,
You almost killed your neighbors.
We're never going to get through this. I'll just leave it at that. No, I'll just leave it. I was backing up. I didn't see the guy running anywhere. And I back up. I start to go forward, and I hear somebody yelling, "Hey, you almost hit me!"
Oh, no.
And I see my neighbor pop out from behind the back of my truck, and I'm like, shit, that fucking sucks. But at the same time, I'm like, you're fucking running down this dead-end street where there's no traffic. You see one car moving, and you run right behind the fucking guy? Come on, get out of here.
Oh, God. No,
people.
If this was my situation, I would say to my wife, we have to move now. I can't live in this neighborhood anymore. I'm not kidding. I'd be like,
no, I'll smooth it out with him. But it was weird.
Oh, just a second. Who we got here?
Yeah, let's take another one.
Oh, shit. I made it through.
Oh, shit.
Is that Craig Lockwood?
It certainly is. Who are we speaking to?
It's Lyndon Novak, sir.
Mate, you got a mask on. This is online. You don't need a mask online.
I'm at work, man. I'm supposed to be wearing it at work here.
You're at work. There we go. You're at work. You're skiving.
Yeah.
Okay. What's up?
Yeah, I'm working in.
What's up?
Research and development for the New Flyer.
Is that a bus behind you?
this is a fucking podcast, guys. What the hell's going on? What can we do for you?
Well, I was just wanting to reach out to you guys because I love your show so much. You know, I've learned so much from you guys, and I follow along all the time. I think I've been listening since day one, somewhere around episode 5, I think, actually, is where I picked up. But, you guys are doing something awesome for the community, and we love it. Us here in Manitoba, that's where I met us in Manitoba.
Manitoba,
we're all about you guys, and we're working towards something right now called Can Iron, and we want you guys on board. I don't know what's going on here.
This is a walk-off music, I'm afraid. We've got walk-off music for you. Everybody's trying to promote their shit.
Listen, guys. I'm telling you this. This is Monday morning. You've got to take the hook with grace and dignity. Take the hook with grace and dignity. We're with you, but...
Oh, geez, we got just... Got a lot of calls. Let me decline this guy. He keeps ringing. The same guy keeps ringing.
We're 9 minutes in, and it is a fiasco. This shit is a fiasco.
Jeff, your week. What's going on with your week, Jeff?
I got to be quick because I know I'm going to be dodging arrows, the phone calling arrows. I had a great week. I had Tony came up, and I finished this plating fork that was so great I wanted to post it, and Tony got so mad at me because every time I post it, it leads to a little bit of trouble. So he actually took it and he put it in his backpack and left with it. So I don't get it for another week. That was really good. But the better part is I got a phone call on Tuesday from my wife and I put the word out, and I got a phone call from a friend of ours in a pharmacy who said, we had a last-minute cancel, not a cancellation. We were going to give someone the COVID shot, but they didn't have New York State ID. So we had to decline them to take the shot. And would you like their spot? But you got to be here in 45 minutes. So I shut the shop down. I ran down. I got the white glove service, and I got the first COVID vaccine.
Wow.
I got the first shot.
There you go.
But, I mean, ahead of schedule. But this is the thing that I was going to try to tell our listeners. You know, you can fill out the forms and stuff, and a lot of people will be ineligible based on their age or whatever. I was constantly filling out to try to get online. I wasn't eligible. But they have to throw some of these guys, they have to throw them out. So if you know people, or you know people who are in the medical industry, and just be friendly, put your name in and say, look, if something falls through, give me a call. The other thing is they're starting to give vaccines to educators. And I know a few friends of mine who've been teachers, blacksmith instructors, and they've been able to get their COVID vaccine because they have established themselves as educators. So if you want to go out all right, there it is. Here we are. I had to try to squeeze that whole story in. Let him on. You let him on?
Can you hear me?
Who's on the line? Who's there?
Me. Otherwise known as American Wasteland.
There American Wastelander. How are you?
It's a good dude right there.
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good. We're good.
Doing good.
We've had a few calls. I've had a few beers, and things are getting quite complicated at the moment. So what's up? What's the reason for calling?
Because you guys asked people to call in. And I'm in the shop.
Oh, I get the feeling we should have asked people to call with questions.
Who cares?
So you're in the shop.
I did have one thing of unsolicited advice for bladesmiths.
Nice.
Specifically.
Yes. Go for it.
Yeah. So you guys get this question way too often. When should I start going full time? If you're a bladesmith.
Wait, you're live. We need to build this up. So you've got the good answer. You ready?
Oh, okay.
Ready for the answer?
Yeah, I got a really good answer. All right. Wait until you get a power hammer or a press. The amount of production you can do with a power hammer or press is exponentially more than you can do hammering by hand. It just doesn't make – I wish I would have waited a little longer to get a power hammer or a press, because right now, I can't produce as many knives as I need to. I'm still supporting my family and everything like that, but I could be doing better if I had a power hammer.
It's a multiplier for you.
If you're doing, when I was at Jason Knight's place, he forged out. I mean, this is on camera, but he forged this out in 20 minutes.
Oh, we got the Oscar walk-off music, I'm afraid.
Joe,
that's your time up, my friend. Speak to you soon.
Dude, American Wastelander Justin rules. Congratulations, Justin, in advance. I know that you passed your didn't he pass his ABS? He passed one of his things, requirements, with Jason Knight. So
nice.
That was actually a great piece of advice.
Yeah, use that multiplier. Yeah, definitely.
you're gonna give everyone the walk-off.
I think so. I think that needs to be our thing, I think. As soon as they start promoting their shit, I think we need to. He pulled up a knife and he was going to try and sell that knife, and I could tell.
Well, how is your week?
Good. I've been in Glue Up City, so just gluing up liners, and then liners to scales, then those scales to knives. It's been nonstop. Just glue ups. There's just clamps everywhere at the moment. Greaseproof paper everywhere. My hands are full of the black stuff, you know, that horrible stuff when it... Yeah, not good. But It's been good. It's been a really good week. We've got lots and lots done in relatively short time in the shop because I've been doing a lot back at the house as well, getting the house, so, you know, doing bits of work there as well. So, yeah, it's been a really good week. So I'm happy. I've achieved more than I thought I would given the time I'd have. So, yeah, it's all good. All good.
Nice.
That's very good. One last thing I will say about the vaccine is the one thing that I've noticed since Tuesday is...
Oh, you're going to be this guy now, aren't you? He talks about the vaccine all the time. Like
no, I'm going to tell you this one time. I'm going to tell you this one time, and you're going to say...
Vegan. No, they've got to tell everybody about it.
No, listen, I'm telling you something that you haven't heard before. Since I got the shot, I've been in such a better mood, and I've honestly felt like there's this... Are you giving me the fucking hook?
I'm joking.
You're going to give me the fucking hook? I'm about to... God damn. Now you got all the buttons, too. I was going to say that I've been in such a good mood, and my family's noticed it, and I feel like it's an unconscious manifestation of me feeling like this pandemic might be over for most of us and for everybody at some point. But it was a very positive experience. That's it.
That's good.
No,
yeah.
No need to give me a hook. I just wanted to say that my sore arm is making me feel like... You know, she actually, when she gave me the shot, like she pulled the needle out and blood started going everywhere.
Oh,
like I had like a trickle of blood down to my elbow. And she's like, well, doesn't happen normally. And I was like, hey, man, don't say that again. Don't say that again. And I said to her, well, did it all go in? And she goes, oh, yes, it all went in. I'm like, okay, then a little blood's okay. I was like, but I mean, just do me a favor and don't, when you're giving people shots, don't tell them. That's not normal.
Right? Yeah, that's not good.
It's sponsored by Even Heat, the manufacturers of the finest heat treating ovens available. Find your next oven at evenheat-kiln.com. To the chopper!
Get yourself an Even Heat. And if you do want to get yourself one, there's only one place to go. Soul Ceramics. You're going to get $75 off that price and free shipping in the US. And they've got the whole range there. So you can specify your own, whether you want the long one, the 120 version, whatever you need. Soul Ceramics. If you go to knifetalk.net/heat, it'll take you to the website where you can pick your Even Heat and it'll automatically apply that discount at checkout for you. Couldn't be better. Shall we ask some... Well, try to answer some questions from the filthy public.
Can I ask you a question?
You're so angry towards our listeners. It's like today is even the worst.
I've got the fire hose of messages coming up in front of me at the moment. And yeah, there's a million people trying to get through. There's a million people who, once they've got through, thanking us. And it's just messages. It's crazy at the moment. It's crazy.
Well, this part, hey, man, can I ask you a question, is the time where you, the listener, gets to ask us questions and we'll try to answer them. Maybe at some point we should during this segment before we ask a question, we'll pull on one of the listeners to help us answer the question.
Good. Nice. If somebody rings up in the middle of a question, we'll then put it to them too. Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
So, Craig, how can we? I know you must be like an octopus. You got your fingers on every button and your dick on the other one, and you're trying to hit all the buttons. How do people put their questions in?
Contact us via DM at Knife Talk on Instagram. It's that easy.
And that's wrong. It's Knife Talk Podcast. We need to change that. It's Knife Talk Brian. Podcast on Instagram.
Calling Brian House.
Yes.
Help us out.
Brian, let's give us some audio. Be good.
So the first question comes from Ryan Bredenkamp. Hey, man, can I ask you a question? Good morning, guys. My question is for Craig. A while back, you mentioned you were using an anti-scale solution. Did you replace the stainless steel foil completely? Did that work as advertised, or are you back to using foil? Do you know any maker that is using anti-scale compound for heat treatment, treating their stainless? Thank you very much for an awesome show.
Yeah, I'm back to foil, unfortunately. It just didn't work out for me. So, yeah, I tried. I found that it wasn't crumbling off, as I've seen in other people's sort of videos, that kind of thing, where once they've done it, they just put their thumb over it and it crumbles off. I found that it wasn't, and it was getting really hard, so I'd need to go to the grinder to take it off. Find if you grind it, you might as well just use foil anyway. It was just a lot of fuss for me, waiting for it to dry. And some people said use multiple coats, and if you're doing that, you're waiting for a lot to dry, then do them again. It was just a hell of a fuss. And I know some people love it, but I just it didn't work with my sort of workflow. use, you know, doing lots of blades at once. But yeah, and I found I was going to grinder, so it's sort of any good that it would have done, it was just sort of ruled out for me. So I no longer use it. I've used it twice, I think. Couldn't get it to work as I wanted, so yeah, I'm not using it, I'm afraid.
I just bought a huge roll of foil. I love that stuff.
Hmm.
I love it. And I don't cut myself on it anymore.
Ah, yeah, you use, yeah, you said you've got the
razor blade. Razor blade and a straight edge.
Yeah, nice. Do you use it at all, Mareko, for any sort of heat treat, or is it?
I sometimes use, not for heat treat too often, or actually basically ever, but I if I'm doing maybe a, like a high temperature thermocycle or something like that, then maybe I'll throw something in some foil, or if I'm doing an anneal on a piece of steel that's already in a blade shape, so it's got, you know, a lot of, or not very much material to work from, then I'll wrap it up in some foil and get it in the kiln. So when it's spending a lot of time at high temperatures, it's not necessarily, you know, cooking off a bunch of carbon.
Right.
But that's about it.
Fair enough. That's a good point. Fair enough. Mareko, do you want to take the next one?
Yeah, this next one's from Connor McCrillis. It says, question one for Craig. Could you use your laser to should we finish this or you take the call?
Okay, we've got another caller. Who are you?
Hey, my name's Adam.
Adam.
I'm from upstate New York.
Adam, what
yeah.
What are you up to?
I just got my kids off the bus from school, and I thought I'd try to give this a try.
Cool. So you're a knife maker, I assume?
I am. I'm fairly a newbie, only been doing it about 3 years.
Okay, cool. What sort of knives do you make? Knives.
I like more of the EDC kind of knives. I want to try a folder. I'm kind of a little nervous to do that, and I wanted to try to like a chef's knife.
Nice.
There's a lot of intricate parts to the folders and stuff, so I'm a little nervous about that. Plus, I just got a ton of orders, so.
Nice. Can't fault that. So, what's your question? What's up?
So, my question is: when you guys do hidden tangs, how long of a tang do you leave? Is it proportional to the distance on the knife? Usually, I do my handles about 4.5, 5.5 inches. You know, if you do a big chef's knife, that's like maybe 8, like 10, 11 inches. How big do you do your tang? How long? How thick? How wide?
That's what she said.
Yeah, Look at you. I only really go. I don't go. I don't really. I stay around 3 inches. 3 inches is fine. To me,
for everything.
I mean, you know, as Robin Quiver says, 3 inches is fine. Yeah, I don't really fool around too much more than that. I don't really see the need for chef knives. I mean, I would imagine for like, you know, knives that you're, you know, slamming into logs and stuff, you probably want a little bit more meat in the kitchen. You know what I'm saying? What do you think, Rick?
I would do a full tank for that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I mean, historically, hidden tangs have been done for thousands of years, honestly, and they can take a serious beating. But you, like Jeff was saying, especially if you're doing hard work and you're using the knife hard, you definitely want to, I keep saying hard. Anyways, you want to make sure you got more tang in there, basically. Mm-hmm. I like to go for at least, especially on my chef's knives, I like to go for at least 3, 3.5 inches, which equates to basically like 4 fists or 2/3 of the handle. There's tang in the handle. To support that hand where that pressure is going to be coming from. If it's a harder use knife, probably want to beef up the size of the tank, the tang a little bit, as well as maybe lengthen it a little bit and get more coverage over the overall handle.
All right.
But yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hidden tangs are great.
See ya. Thanks for calling.
I was going to play the playoff. I was going to do the playoff music then, but there's no need. We had a polite caller.
That was an excellent caller. Excellent caller.
Good question. He was prepared. That was perfect. That was perfect.
Model.
That's the yes. If anybody model. Listening would like to call next week, that's the model.
Because Craig is a demon. He's going to get you. Craig is a demon. He's going to get you.
Well, I can see the video, so I see the glint in their eye when they want to pimp something out. I can see it coming. So I got my hand
really?
Over that button. I got my hand there ready to go.
Yeah. There you go. Wait, so you want to get into that question again from Connor Krillis?
Let's see. I gotta find it again now. Okay, so what, Craig? Would you use your laser to burn away material coated on the blade, so you could have a detailed hamon?
Does that make sense? I thought that was interesting because if you put like cement or Satanite on the spine of the blade, and then you kind of cut in with the laser, maybe you could take away some of that material and have a real interesting hamon.
Oh, I see. So for shaping the clay or whatever you're going to use, I see.
Yeah.
Never even thought of that. I mean, my main thing when I'm using the laser is to try and keep the heat down as much as possible. So if you think of a maybe like a CNC router or something like that, you know, you've got like feed or any sort of mill, you've got a feed speed and you've got like a power of the spindle. And I think of a laser that way. So you can change the speed in which the laser moves, and you can also change the intensity speed. And what you're always trying to do is get the best mark you can without actually putting too much heat into the blade. Because generally, you laser into things like your logos on, that kind of thing. At the end of everything's polished, everything's ready to go. So what you don't want to do is put heat in. So, you know, high intensity with a really low speed, you will start to feel the heat in that blade. And it's very localized because it's like a pinhead is a tiny little laser. So I've never thought of it that way. My thing, as I say, is always to less heat as possible. With mine, you probably couldn't because mine's a fiber laser. So, for example, you could put your hand under mine and you'd be fine. You could put wood under there and it really wouldn't burn wood. Any sort of natural material, it doesn't seem to. It seems to be only for metallic stuff. But a CO2 laser, which aren't as powerful, but they will burn your hand. They'll burn anything you put under it, basically. That you could probably do that with clay and get a really nice sort of sharp edge for a hamon. Yeah, maybe. Maybe somebody else has tried it. I've never tried it, but it's an interesting one.
That's a crazy. If you looked at Greg Sims, had just done some. He'd done some hamons with like skulls in them, like really detailed hamons. Really
that's
wild.
Remind me of the what is it? Hafnick knives. Hafnick. Jan Hafnick, he also does those kind of skulls. Super cool. It's amazing the control. But I'll tell you something I've done, and I think that could work for you, Craig. And part of the issue with hamons is it's not just a thin layer of clay. I can't imagine that the clay or the laser would be able to eat through anything too thick, maybe a 32nd of an inch or like half a mil. But when you're doing a hamon, you need thicker material, clay material than that, you know? And so, but one thing I could see the laser doing is like if you laid down tape across the face of your blade and then you lasered out a design and then peeled away, kind of like taking like a sticker or a decal.
Yeah, mask it. Yeah, I do that. Yeah.
And then pull away where you don't want the clay to be. And then, or where you do want the clay to be, paint the clay, your layer of clay on, and then pull off your masking. That would also probably help leave a nice detailed hamon. And it'll give you the beef that you need for the clay to actually do its job, because the purpose of the clay is to kind of help insulate the material from cooling fast enough. And if it's only a thin layer, it's not really going to do much. But that's why you need a little bit more of a thicker layer to do that stuff.
Makes
so
sense.
If people use tape, painter's tape as to mask off, and they could do any kind of stencil, and then put the Satanite on and or whatever, and then pull the tape off, and then they would have more of a more a power and design of what the hormones gonna look like.
For sure.
There you go.
Nice.
He also had a hot take, which was beer is just bread in a can.
That's bullshit.
There you go. That's bullshit. That's a good answer, too. Hi, who's this?
Who's on the line? We've got a caller.
Hey, I'm Brian Cohn of the Econ 9.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Brian?
I'm good.
What can we help
what's
you with?
What's up with you guys?
We're good. We're good. We're trying to field calls at the moment, and it's gone a bit bonkers.
We're recording a podcast, Brian.
Oh, no. Awesome. That's awesome. Thank you so much for having me. So Are you guys doing hot takes or what are you guys
whatever
doing?
Whatever you want. Anything you want.
So a hot take that I have is the Arnie guy, I kind of like him. He's awesome to me, but I think that the rest of the all of the jingles need to be replaced by Brian Houseworth.
You know what? You're not wrong.
Brian, you listening?
I'm surprised Brian hasn't called in yet.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. Brian, if you're listening, we need to get it done. So anyway, thank you, Brian number two. Thank you very much. And with that, this is a good opportunity for...
Combat Abrasives make the world's best abrasive belts for knife makers, available in any size and at unbelievable prices. Go take a look at combatabrasives.com and get 15% off with the promo code KNIFETALK15. Do it now!
Arnie's a bit... People are a big fan of Arnie, apparently.
Well, not obviously not. I think sputtering Arnie might be getting the old speaking again. He might get the hook.
Quite possibly. Where were we? Bread. Beer is just bread in a can. I'm happy with that. Anything fermented, I'm going to eat. And yeah,
you're not walking around all tipsy and stuff after the football game though on bread.
No, that's true. Yeah. That's my, but like food wise, it's my biggest vice, bread. Because here is the bread is just incredible. There's so many different types, and
sure,
I love it. It's it's the best.
I haven't had beer in a month,
really.
At least, I'm off carbonation for a while.
It's all that fizzy water you've been drinking,
dude. I feel so much. I can't express to you how much better I feel by cutting out carbonated beverages. I can't believe it. I'm shocked.
But you were drinking a lot, though, weren't you? You were drinking a lot at night, you said, a lot of fizzy water.
Yeah, I love seltzer water, but it's like I'm not drinking any, and I don't feel bloated at all. I feel like super light on my feet. It's crazy.
Nice.
I've been drinking a lot of, Guinness Extra Stout this last week.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, it's because St. Patrick's Day. Patrick's Day this past week.
I hate most Guinness, but I love the Extra Stout.
Nice. Yeah, when was it? St. Patrick's Day? I think it was last night, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
Thursday, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Lucas Williams has written into us. Hey, man, I have a question. What type of steel is the best for making a chef's knife? Would ATCR V2 work, or would you use something different? Thanks for making the great podcast. I really enjoy listening. And just as an aside, Lucas is one of our younger listeners, so we need to be quite careful how we answer this one. ATCR V2 for chef knives. I've never used it. What about you guys? Have you used it?
I have not used it myself personally, but I've heard nothing but awesome things about it, actually. I heard it forges really nicely, heat treats really easily, gets and holds because of the vanadium and chrome content. Developing carbides, it helps hold a really nice and take a nice keen edge. What's great about the vanadium addition, it also helps keep the crystalline structure small. It helps keep the crystal...
Just a sec. You can slow down. I'm not going to play you off.
I'm worried about the button.
No, he's not. He's going to play me off. Don't worry. He's not going to play you. You are actually giving us knife talk. So you are safe. You're completely safe. Your answer is 100% safe. Go ahead.
That's fine. I didn't feel like I was talking that fast.
Oh, dude.
Anyways.
Dude, don't worry.
If he gives you the hook,
we got to change it. If he gives you the hook, you're giving a real explanation, we got to change the name of this show. That's real fucking knife talk.
But anyways, vanadium, when it's in addition to most steels, the goal is it helps pin the boundaries so the grain doesn't start growing out of control once it reaches around 1600 degrees or something. So it helps keep it really nice and fine, which lends it also to being a tougher steel as well. So I think ADCRV2 would be – I want to play with it myself. I've never used it before, but I've heard nothing but great things.
I just got some after watching the Forge series from Jason Knight. He was using ADCRV2, and I got some just to if I can ever get to it, I want to get to it. But one thing he said, which was really, really important, is find one steel and just use that one steel and really get to know it. I've always been that way in terms of carbon steel and stainless steel. I don't feel the need to have to use, learn every single one. At a certain point, I'll grow slowly in terms of that stuff. But that is a very great point that he makes, is you don't have to know every single steel. Find one that you use it all the time, figure out what you like about it, what you don't like about it, really, really focus on the heat treatment, and then I'm sure it'll be fine. I mean, for a chef's knife, I mean, you're not like, you know, cutting walrus tusks and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. Okay, Aiden on Instagram says, hey guys, I have a question. How do you fasten the tang at the end of the handle on a hidden tang knife? I've tried welding a nut to a piece of metal and then thread the nut of the tang, but I really struggle with keeping everything straight. So he's talking about a hidden tang, but that goes right through to the back, and you've got like a, not a bolster, but like an end cap, I suppose, that you want to attach.
That's all you, sure. Marco.
Tang nuts. Yeah, so you can thread the end of the tang, and it kind of pops out the back of the handle, and then you can. What I've done in the past is use Corby bolts, or like the nut side of the pair, to cinch it down when I'm all done gluing it up, and then you just cut it off like you normally would and grind it down clean. But you don't necessarily need that. Like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, hidden tangs is one of the oldest handle constructions, and you know, just a properly glued and fit tang, well, it's not really going to go anywhere. Something you can do on the tang is cut in little notches that kind of make the tang irregular. So if you're worried about the blades sliding out of the slot, like, one, how the hell are you using that? And what were you using in the first place to fix it? But if you're using any of the epoxies, kind of modern epoxies and glues, you shouldn't really have any concerns about the blade flying out of the handle. If it's a really big blade, maybe you use a mechanical fastener, like you drill a hole through the handle block and through the tang, and that will help pin it in place and keep it mechanically fastened into the handle. But you know, as little as just knocking in little notches on the tang before the final glue up will do really help with any concerns of it kind of sliding out. One of the things I like to do actually is I'll take a little cutoff wheel, like you would use on a Dremel, and cut backwards kind of notches. So it's almost like little barbs in the opposite direction of like the direction that the handle or the blade might slide out of the handle. So it's almost like creating a Chinese finger trap in a way. So makes that's my take.
Cool. Well, I've got nothing.
Nothing. Perfect. This is all real right. Knife talk. We haven't even talked about penises at all.
Thank God. We got this next one from Leonard Peterman. He says, hey man, can I ask you a question? I'm starting to get more and more interested in file work on the spine of the blade. Do you guys know any good resources for learning this skill? Any books, tutorials, or other makers that supply good content on this topic? What do you guys think?
A lot of it's just measuring.
Sorry, go on, Jeff.
I'm sorry for interrupting. I mean, I learned from Matt Paul, and it's more about measuring and then also using different files. Like, there's a lot of dimensionality in terms of the thickness of the steel, the width of the steel, plus, you know, how long you want to go, plus the distance between all the different rings and things. You got to play. But the measuring, like what I always do in the beginning is I put some blue dye down, and then I'll measure out. And I'll measure out my lines, and then I'll do alternating semicircles, and then I'll do the thorns in the middle of them at a certain angle. I like to play around with different sizes, what works best with different sizes and stuff. But it's all about the distance. And I know that Kyle Daly will be at Blade Show, and he's going to do a whole symposium on doing fireworks. So get a hold of him. I mean, get a hold of him. You know, but at the same time, I think that there probably are a lot of, I know that I've found online images of firework, but you just have to break it down in terms of how big your file is versus the distance between your lines and the thickness of your steel.
Yeah. My firework is very, very simple, and it's on basically virtually every knife that goes out. So, apart from table knives. So it is literally just half circles. And the way I do that, you know, with a bit of speed, because I generally work through sort of bigger batches, is I use like a Dremel with a carbide tool in it. And I've got a little jig here, so it just rests at the same angle each time. So you're lowering it as if it's like a chop saw. You're lowering it down, and I get the same angle each time. So it's you know, I can repeat it each time. But yeah, like Jeff, first of all, I'll stick some blue dye on, and I'd scratch in, you know, equal measurements, so I know where to go. But then, yeah, I just use a Dremel with a carbide tool, but mine are very, very simple. They're just literally half circles.
One major tip is start off, if you're doing like semicircles, start off with a nick from like a triangular file.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that fucking round bastard is going to go flying around. It's going to roll all over that thing. It's really hard to be very specific unless you give it a channel to go into.
Yeah. I use a jig for mine to stop. But when I wasn't using the jig, you're right, because you got that rotary action. It's going to want to skate off. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't use the Dremel only because I've gotten to the point where I feel like I have a little bit more control with the hand files. If I've done file work on very thin 16th, and I've actually used the cutoff wheel on a Dremel to get the kind of veins in there, but sometimes they get a little bit too thin for me.
Yeah, makes sense. Cool.
When it comes to makers, I've never really done file work myself, but I really admire it. And I find there are a lot of folder makers, especially kind of the older school folder makers. Huge. Like Shane Taylor, Rick Dunkerley, Delana. I might be screwing that up. But who Holly Loftus interviewed as part of the Women's International Day takeover, who do really awesome file work. And Delana actually has kind of a little mini tutorial on her Instagram feed that's not that deep. It's only like maybe 12 posts back. And also, I think I've seen, I can't remember, I think it might be Nick Rossi I've seen, who does kind of more freeform file, spine filing, that I really like actually a lot. It's not super regimented. It's got this really kind of natural flow to it. I think it's pretty cool. Other than that, yeah, just I think measuring like these guys are talking about and practice, you know, practice makes proficient.
Speaking of the New England School of Metalwork, they are really, really great. And they're still teaching classes. Blacksmithing and bladesmithing is back. They have new teachers, and they're going to be doing a lot more in-person classes. They're very COVID orthodox, and we just want you all to know that they're out there. They're doing great stuff for sure. All the questions you send us, they have all the answers. So if you go to NewEnglandSchoolOfMetalwork.com, check in their classes, see what they got. They got, besides blacksmithing and bladesmithing, they have welding classes and other things. They're ABS. If you want to go ABS, you can go there, and they'll get you everything you need to do to be proficient enough for passing the tests. Get yourself really proficient. Go to the New England School of Metalwork, and you know, for sure support them. They're one of the gold standards in metalworking schools, but they're the gold standard in bladesmithing and knife making in the United States. So go check out NewEnglandSchoolOfMetalwork.com. Support them.
There we go. Right. The next one is from, I think it's Bad Omen Knives. KDP, a couple of questions that I haven't heard brought up before. These kind of questions we like. For those that add a Spanish notch or sharpening choil, do you do it before or after your primary bevels? That's the first question. And the second was, when using a jimping file, do you have any tips to get good results wider than a single pass of the file? So let's start with the Spanish notch or the sharpening choil. I know, Jeff, you do these on your sort of hunter-style knives.
I do them on everything.
On everything. Do you do them before or after your primary bevels?
I do them before heat treatment.
Right.
Because for me, the Spanish notch is more along, is an easier way to, I dislike with intensity when you can't sharpen all the way to the end. Like if there's not a sharpening choil, you just kind of run into the plunge line. And I once tried to use a grinding wheel, and I started banging into that thing. I hated it. So the sharpening choil is nice. And what I do is I do, especially for Before heat treatment, 100%, and I use it for stock removal stuff. I'll use a small file, and then I'll, like we were talking about with file work, I'll hit it with, I'll nick it with a triangular file, and then I'll use the round file to kind of run it in, and it definitely helps. And then you can always, you know, tune it up if you've gone too far on your blade, but I think it's a lot easier on everybody who's, if it, you do it after, before heat treatment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And in regards to jimping, slow passes. I have a jimping file. They're awesome, but you got to do slow passes and then keep going. And one trick that I figured out was after you start in, put it up to 45 degrees on the corners of the blade where you're putting in the jimping. And that'll actually take out a little bit more material on the sides, which will help you kind of get clean. And once it skates clean, then it's good. If you go too full blast, what happens is it jumps, and then you have to start all over. You know, like hit it on the grinder just to make it nice.
Yeah.
I've actually stopped using the jimping file because, I mean, what is this? G.I. Joe Kung Fu Grip? I mean, what are we doing here? Do we really need, I mean, my shit, I don't expect my shit to be like, you know, Sylvester Stallone trying to jam it into a rock to save his life from cliffhangers.
Yeah,
something.
I used one for a couple of knives, and then I used one on a hardened steel blade on the spine, and then I fucked it, and it no longer will work for anything. And they're pretty expensive as well. I think I paid like I don't know, about £70 for this, because you just couldn't find them anywhere. I had to get sort of imported in.
Oh, wow.
Pretty expensive. Yeah, I did a few knives with it, but and then stupidly used on a hardened blade, thinking, oh, it'd be fine.
A thousand times better than using just a single file.
Yeah.
I mean, because you do get that factory-looking jimping, which is great.
So he's saying, I understand what you're saying, so he wants to make it wider than the actual blade of the jimping file. So what I've done in the past is you just move it down, put it back into the same grooves, and carry on just to extend it. Is there any way to get good results for that?
But you have to establish. Let's say you got 10 grooves, but you want to make it 15. You start doing you go all the way to the end, and then you kind of hop it over. And then so you have two of the sets of teeth riding in the jimping, and then you can start going to do the rest. But you got to be real careful. You really want to set that jimping far, otherwise it'll start to kind of cut in, and then you'll get that fucked up look. We got other things besides phone calls, and we have whatever you guys want. We have a ton of hot takes. We also have a lot of, you know what you should do.
Let's do.
Hot takes. Knife Talk hot takes. So hot takes are, this is the first time you're hearing this podcast, it's a piece of deliberately provocative commentary that's based almost entirely on shallow moralizing, usually written on tight deadlines with little research or reporting and even less thought. So it's basically loud, fact-free declarations. And here's a I thought I had my own personal one, but I don't remember it. But it should be in a statement. So here's an example of a hot take with incorrect phrasing. Hot take. What is it with beautiful knives with plastic-looking handles? Sorry, Jeff. That's not a hot take.
Yeah, it's a question.
That's like a Seinfeld episode. You know, The way you would do it, what's up with these people? If you were to do that, you would. If a correct way to say that would be, plastic on knives looks dumb. That would be a hot take. You know, it's got to be a definitive statement. You're not asking a question.
Yeah, gotcha.
So JPH says, hot take. This BS. Last week, somebody said that a hot take was T-shirts. T-shirt pockets are stupid. Pockets on T-shirts are stupid. That got a lot of people talking. So JPH says, hot takes. T-shirt pockets are the pinnacle of textile engineering. They're the perfect size for a beverage and the perfect location to use with a bendy straw.
I like that. I'll have to try that move.
And then Forged and Feather Forge. I think I might have wrote that wrong, but I think it's Forge and Feather Forge. I think it's Forge and Feather. All right. He said, not that you ask, but there's nothing handier on a T-shirt than pockets.
No. These people have got men tits. That's why they're wearing pockets on the T-shirts to hide their men tits. I'm telling you, that's what it is.
People really, of all the things we say, people really reacted to the pockets on T-shirts. That was really good. Okay, so Paul-Emile Francois says, hot take, there's no such thing as moldy cheese because it's already moldy milk. The moldier, the better. Well, this is a hard hot take right here. John Lalo says, hey, peeps, I got a hot take for you. If you've never worked in the food industry, you shouldn't be making kitchen knives. That's a tough one, man.
I'm not sure I agree with that one, mate.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, wait a second. I worked at McDonald's. What are you talking about? Twisted Oak 22 says, here's a hot take. When people call water heaters hot water heaters, you fuckers, if the water is hot, it doesn't need heating. So he doesn't like terminology. John Robert Kraft says, here's a hot take. New Yorkers are the most provincial people on earth. I mean, fine.
I don't know what he means by that.
I don't know what provincial means.
I don't know, but it's just like, you know, from a Texan, I understand. Fine. I'm with you. Drek Metal says, hot take. No, this is a fucking shot at me too. Another shot at me. Drek Metal says, hot take. No two words sound cooler alone, but weaker as fuck together as electric chainsaw.
Quite true.
I had an electric chainsaw that Craig wanted to beat my brains in months ago about. I didn't buy an electric, a gas one because I just didn't want to. I don't do a lot of chainsawing, and I had this one project, and I saw it was only $50. I was like, fine, get it, and I fucked it up. There's a lot of things in life that sound cooler alone than together, but that's just the way it is.
Like, did you buy the whole orange helmet and the earmuffs and the special chaps for chainsaws as well? Come away with your weedy little electric chainsaw too.
I mean, look, there's a lot of words that sound cooler together than by themselves, like douchebag. But other than that, I mean, I'm not calling you douchebag, Drek. I was just thinking about two words that sound good together. But I'm with you. I'm just kidding. You're not. That was just a joke. You're right, 100%. Luke Bright says, TikTok leggings. My wife loves them, refers to them as ruffle butt leggings, and they do truly accentuate that ass. So,
nice.
Stillwater Phantom says, here's a white hot take. If you drive a goddamn Prius and block a diesel pump, there's a special place in hell for you. There's plenty of gas pumps and only few diesel pumps. Baltic Blade says, hot take. Most customers don't know what they actually want, and the ones that do are worse than the ones that don't. That is an excellently worded hot take, Baltic Blades. I give you an A-plus for that one.
Straight to the point.
Okay, Blazed Blade says, here's a hot take. Having a beard, long hair, and an anvil doesn't make you a Viking. Go try pillaging a town with some farming tools and see how that works for you. That was a good one, too. Griff says, here's a hot take. There are no stock removal classes. YouTube for the win. New England School of Whittling Steel coming soon.
Yeah, you could probably. I'm sure that there are a lot of stock removal classes out there, but fine, Griff, I'm with you.
Chad, they'd be workshops, I'm sure. They call them workshops instead.
Chad Kimmel says, here's a hot take. Most people don't know what color a yield sign is, and it really shows. So at this point in time, I couldn't tell you what a yield sign color is either.
I don't know what a yield sign is.
You're supposed to you don't have to come to a complete stop, but you have to you kind of slow down and look, and if no one's there, you can kind of go.
Right. Give way, we'd call that. Right. Okay.
Yep. Give way.
Okay.
Andrew Pelsier says, hot take, anvils should have two horns. London pattern anvils are good for Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. Joel Dube says, here's a hot take. When you're listening to Knife Talk podcast, hot takes and grinding full speed, then the ad and the podcast comes up at 10 times the volume and makes you jump. That's not good. Brigham Kindle says, here's a hot take. Mosaic Damascus is Legos for real men.
Lego.
CJ Miller says, here's a hot take. Heat treat ovens are overrated. You can get the same performance from a propane torch and your eyeballs.
Ooh.
That is an aggressive hot take.
Yeah.
Hot take. My boy ain't working on stainless. That's what that boy ain't working on.
Shall we do some beef? We've got a couple of beefs here as well.
I have two more hot takes. The last one I really need to have in. I don't really need to have in, but two last hot takes, then we're done.
Okay.
This one comes from Kyle Heath. Hot take, half serrated folding knives are the gold standard for outdoor tools. And rounding out the last hot take is Jonathan Kuhn, who says, if you call your pet your fur child or fur baby, or call yourself its mommy or daddy, you might have some serious mental issues and should probably seek professional help. I agree with that hot take.
I completely agree.
We took our dog to the vet, and the vet talked to the dog and asked, let mommy and daddy hold you. I'm like, I am not this dog's parent. This did not come out of my wife. This is not my parent. We're not parents. We're our friends. We'll just keep it there. Friends. I don't like that mommy and daddy shit.
Beef. We've had a few beefs from listeners. We haven't had beefs for a while, actually. First one is from Right Edge Work. I've got a beef. People who ask for a price in a particular knife, you give them a price, then they never reply. No, that's too expensive. Oh, no, that's too cheap. They just don't reply. Hell, I'd be good with a good fuck no. At least reply back to the quote with something, he says. Yeah, that's the worst. Just being completely ghosted. And it's like, well, at least tell me no if you don't want it. Yeah, I get
it. It is annoying going back and forth. One thing I do get a lot is back and forth, and then we're not responding fast enough. And then once we respond fast enough, then they ghost you. Yeah. It's like getting chastised for how quick you're not giving me the information I need right now. That's annoying.
Mareko, do you want to take the next beef from Will Onus?
Oh, I'm not sure. Where are they, down at the bottom of the thing?
No, it's right.
Jeff, do you want to do it?
Sure. This one comes from Will Onus. Hey, fellas. I love your podcast. I've been listening for about a year now. I have a beef with how people speak. I hate it when Jeff says, the thing is. A thing isn't a thing, so you don't have to say is afterwards. It's just the thing is, that's it. I'm done. Keep up the great work.
I didn't realize Will was an English teacher.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I might not stop just because you don't like it. And the thing is, we're the number one knife-related podcast on this German-infested planet. And the thing is, if you want to keep listening, you got to put up with this horse shit there, Will.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. I know that, honestly, I know that I have verbal crutches. I lean on them hard. And I know that. I'm not oblivious. Trust me. I'm my worst critic. I'm aware. But, what can you do? I'm trying to be unguarded.
The thing is, what the fuck he's saying, so shut the fuck up. You're not an English teacher.
It's fine. I'm trying to be unguarded, and it's fine. I understand. And then somebody else said something. What was our rowing instructor said? We had the English teacher. We had the rowing instructor from a row talk. He said something about me too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we don't want this to become a bit where the people just attack us.
Are nobody calling anymore? Are we done with the phone calls?
I think so, maybe. Yeah.
All right, keep talking. I'll see if I can get us some phone calls.
I threw up a thing on the stories while one of you guys was talking earlier.
Oh, cool, cool. Mareko, why don't you tell us about your grinder? Jeff is, I don't know what Jeff, maybe going for a piss. I'm not sure what
he's
doing.
No, I'm right here.
I'm going to go and grab a beer, and Mareko can tell us all about his lovely grinder.
Craig's beer is sponsored by Broadbeck. No, I'm just joking. So I got a Broadbeck grinder. So does Jeff and so many other talented makers that we know. I love this thing. It's a beast of a machine, and it's like a transformer. Actually, honestly, it's like a transformer because of all the different attachment arms and all the different functions it offers just in one machine. And I think that's one of the smartest things that they've done in creating these things. These grinders, and you know, you can lay them down sideways, you can change out to all different kind of tool arms. I have actually my own tool arms that I made that I use in this grinder, and I really really appreciate that they have that flexibility built into these machines. And when you go and you get one, you can type in Knife Talk 10, you'll save 10%, and that's on everything, including the shipping. Shipping's built into the cost of the machine, so there's no buying the grinder and then all of a sudden there's a couple extra $100 on top of that. It's all built into the thing. They package everything flat rate to kind of try to keep those costs down for knife makers, because you know we're all in this struggle together. They're knife makers making grinders for knife makers. Go check out Broadbeck Iron Work. Type in Knife Talk 10 at checkout and you will save yourself some 10% on your grinder.
I think the free shipping is only in the U.S. In the United States, they have deals.
Yes,
they have deals in Canada, so you can get it in Canada. And I think it's they're very reasonable.
Right.
Those guys, Ryan and Vince, are very, very good, reasonable guys. And you don't have to ask us questions. You can DM them directly, and they will answer all the questions without hard selling you too. So yeah, they're awesome. Do you want to keep going? Well, why don't we keep going? So here's the next question while our fearless leader is topping up.
I'm back. Cheers.
He's back.
I'm back.
he's back. This next question comes from Ethan Goss. All right, I keep seeing these amazing mustard forced patinas, and I've tried to do this a couple times, and it looks like something took a shot on my knife. It looks like something that took a shit on my knife. What gives? How do you make that beautiful multicolored patina?
Multi-layered
patina.
I struggled when I first tried to do this. I really struggled. What I found was with the mustard, you seem to get the patina around the edges of the mustard. So if you put in like big, so if you want like I was trying to do like stripes and all sorts when I first started, and I was doing like big, thick layers, thinking the more that's on there, the better. But the actual only bit that seemed to be affected was the edges. So the best way I like to do it now is just like stippling the mustard. So cover the whole blade in a really thin layer and just use my finger and almost like stipple it.
Huh.
And when you let that dry off, or you wipe it off, you know, and however long you want to leave it there for, you get this really sort of, well, like a stippled effect, I suppose. You know, it's a complete random pattern, but it's a sort of uniformity to it as well. But yeah, big blobs never seem to work. You just get almost like circles because it'll just follow the outside edge of the mustard.
I've learned two things from both Jared. Jared Thatcher was the first one to tell me about it. And then I spent some time with Tomer over at Florentine Kitchen Knives. And I picked up a few things. One is every mustard is different. So I've actually started using two different styles of mustard because you end up getting, you know, it's a different acid level. So you can actually get, I learned from Tomer, if you do multiple passes, you get a more of a depth of field. So one thing I do is I'll wash it down with soap and water, and then I took a sponge, and then I actually cut the sponge to be round, and then I took the edges of the sponge off, so it was almost like a dome. It was almost like a ball peen hammer, almost like it was like a ball. And then I put it on the sponge, and then I stipple it with the sponge, and then I just take it all off and make it even. Then I leave it on for 15 minutes, wash it off, and then do it again exactly the same way. I also swap out mustards. Like, I went with French's mustard and Grey Poupon. You do get a difference. Like, you should definitely try out the different mustards together, because you end up getting a little bit more, you get lights and darks, and you got to do more than one pass. One pass looks terrible. Yeah. And some steels work better than others. I know that Tomer dips his in ferric chloride at the end. I don't think it's necessary for... I've gotten better results from crisper results from no ferric, but he does make it nice. Makes it real nice. Hmm. I love it. I think it looks... When it comes out really right... I did one a couple weeks ago. I was just like, wow, that looks awesome.
Yeah. Nice. Shall we carry on with questions, or shall we talk about our ultimate sandpaper, which is from Indasa USA? They make Rhino Wet. So, you know, even if you're doing, you know, mustard finishes, you're going to want a decent finish on your blade before you even get to that. And the best way to do that is with a good sandpaper. And Rhino Wet is the king. This is the best one out there. It's just, yeah, hands down better than anything else that's available. It'll save you money because it saves you time. And we can also save you money by going to TexasFireSupply.com to buy your Indasa Rhino Wet. And the great thing about Texas Fire Supply is, once you're there and you throw that into your cart, have a look around. They've got lots there. They've got a whole section there for blade makers. And, yeah, have a look at all the stuff they've got. If you use Knife Talk 10, you'll also get 10% off the whole order. So it's worth taking a look. TexasFireSupply.com. Fill up that card with Indasa Rhino Wet and everything else that they've got. You won't regret it. Okay, let's go back to questions. We got so much to get through. There's like, yeah, shitloads. Ethan Goss says, "All right, I keep seeing these amazing French."
We just did that one.
The beer's kicking. I'm starting to get. You know when your jaw goes a bit slack and. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, Michael Ward then says, "Hey guys, on batch work." Oh Jesus! Just a second. We've got somebody here.
What's going on?
Hey, who is it? Who are you speaking to?
Hey, this is Tim Kingsford from Australia.
Australia? Nice. Wow. Well, what time is it in Australia now?
About 6:20 a.m.
Oh, you're probably drinking beer by now then in Australia.
Cheers. This is
on a Saturday.
This is Tim from Gamaco, isn't it?
No, that's Tim Ford. I'm Tim Kingsford.
My bad. Sorry.
Okay. It's like wish.
I'm the king version of Tim.
Oh, there you go.
Wish for stuff and then you get the wrong versions. We know. How can we help you? What's up?
I've got a bit of a dilemma if you want to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
All right. So I live a little bit out of the city centre of Brisbane, like in Australia. So where we are, we don't have town water. It's all rainwater. And so being in Australia, you might know that it gets a bit dry here sometimes, so water can be precious. And so that brings me to my dilemma. If I've just glued something up and I've got epoxy all over my hands, or maybe Coca-Cola dust, Do I save water and not wash my hands before I go to the toilet and risk Coca-Cola pecker or epoxy pecker? Or do I do the right thing and wash my hands beforehand?
Depends.
Save water or save manhood?
Depends what time of the year it is, because sometimes you may need that extra help with a Coca-Cola.
Do you have a swarf bucket? Do you have a swarf bucket in your grinder?
I do.
There you go. You can throw a little bit of grit in there, and you're in business. Wash your hands in the swarf bucket.
Oh,
it's got all sorts of steel filings and stuff through it.
Yeah. Well,
I don't want that.
You're Australian. You can have a big bucket of beer around somewhere. So dip your hands in the beer and you're done.
Well, I mean, if you're epoxy...
Big keg of Heimberg.
Water doesn't do shit for epoxy anyway. You gotta get yourself some acetone. Wipe your hands down. Or Gojo. Get yourself some Gojo. You know?
What's Gojo?
That's like... It's like a pumice pump soap. Like, get a soap pump with the, this is the really... We're talking about your penis there, Tom? You know what I mean? Are we serious? Is this really weird? You're calling from Australia? We're going to talk about whether or not you're going to wash your hands before you take a leak. You know, Tim?
Tim, we've got a question for you before you go. Your favorite knife-related podcast. There's only two you can choose from, really, isn't there?
I think it's Knife Talk Down Under.
Fuck!
Okay, and that's the playoff music. See you, Tim. Nice one. Bye for now.
You got us.
You'll
pretty
be coming
good
back on.
Tim got us pretty good.
I love what I love is that the podcast is Knife Making Down Under, and he called it Knife Talk Down Under.
Yeah, it is good for you. We're with you. We're with you, Tim. We've gotten a call from Greece, Manitoba, United States, and Australia.
Where is Manitoba?
It's Canada.
Canada, right? Okay.
That's the right answer, by the way. That's the right question is, where is Manitoba? No, this is Canada.
Nice. And Australia, right? Around the world, international, baby.
That's it.
Right. Okay. Let's carry on. We've got a few more here.
Should I take this next one?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Go for it.
Okay. This one is from Jonathan Bigelow. He says, hey, guys, is it better to make or buy tongs? It annoys me that most tongs... I love that it's always when I'm asking a question. Let's hear it.
You're on the show. Who are you? What are you about?
Hey! Hey,
Oh, I see beer.
You're taking a drink.
I see beer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a long day. Got a question for Mareko.
Well, who is this?
Dave Pratt.
Dave
from Bonds Creek Knives.
There we go.
Somewhere in the south.
I see your logo. I see it. What's your question?
So my question is, how much tonnage on your press do you really need?
Yeah, that is a good question. I have 25 tons on my press, but I don't think I use like maybe a third of it about. So, I see these little 12 tonners, desktop 12 ton presses from like Coal Iron and stuff. And I honestly think that's plenty to make steel. For the way I work, because I always talk about massaging the steel, I don't really hog down and smash really hard. I could see if you're trying to like drift holes for hammers and or doing certain blacksmithing kind of forging processes, but for my Damascus making, I massage my steel, and so I'm maybe doing at most a quarter inch compression, but usually eighth inch compressions. I'm just barely moving it and getting it drawn out. But so I think those 12 tons are plenty.
All right, I'm building the press, and I was worried. I'm building a 25-ton. I was afraid that for a large billet, maybe when it gets wide, it's not enough. But it sounds like it is.
Right. Well, and once you get the steel stuck together and it's properly welded after the first couple rounds of welding, you should be able to then transition to some drawing dies, if you like, to really move that material and draw it out. If you're worried about not having enough force for the size of billet, but you know, I've forged most of my billets are about 1.5 inches wide by 6 inches long, by 4.25 inches. So I'm starting with about 12 pounds or so of steel. But I would easily be able to do a couple inch wide billet, same dimensions otherwise, under that press. And so 25 is pretty solid.
All right.
Quantity.
We've got a question for you now. Okay.
Go ahead.
S grinds. Tell us what you think of S grinds in 20 seconds. Go.
What an S grind is?
Yeah, I cut him off.
Oh, that
fed
was such
up
a
hearing about West Grinds lately. Fed up about hearing about West Grinds.
You are a demon. You are a demon. That was a good key. Was a good caller. He had a good question. Recco had a good answer. And then you fucking gave him the hook in a very inappropriate way. I'm not mad about it, but you are a demon. You're a demon.
Where were we?
All right, back to Jonathan Bigelow. Okay, so it sounds like he's been using pliers and other funky stuff. He's asking, should he make his own tongs or buy his own tongs? Oh. We'll ask this next caller.
Hi, who's
we'll
this?
They've stopped. They've left the place.
Oh, they gave up. So what do you think?
I think that making tongs makes you a better... It makes you understand forging steel better. But there's nothing wrong with buying tongs. There's nothing wrong with buying tongs. I bought tongs. I like making tongs. Like, I feel like it really does help me in terms of, you know, kind of like warming up almost, like drawing out reins and doing all that stuff and all that. I like making tongs, but there's for certainly nothing wrong with buying tongs. When I'm in a pinch, I don't, you know, if I have to, I need three different sets of tongs, I'll usually order them.
Don't you like making tongs for people and then sending them to other people?
I have definitely made tongs, and then when somebody needs tongs, I generally send them.
I've got a set. I've got a set of Jeff Vader made tongs.
Yeah, sometimes.
Best tongs I've got.
The only tongs you got. You don't have anything. Yeah, otherwise it's like you're like Mr. Vice Grip.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Okay, I think it's that time of the week. It's been pretty hectic. This week, what's the big idea? What's the big plan? Where would you like to be this time next week? Let's start with Jeff this week.
Well, I have a lot of grinding to do. I'm all caught up on a lot of stuff. I have a couple of handles to finish sanding. I got a big cleaver going out that rehandled. That's going to be really nice. And I'm telling you what, I'm in a very optimistic mood. We're making plans. We're going to try to figure out how my kid was made captain of the swimming team as a sophomore. And this is like such a big deal because they bypass some of the seniors because my kid is so helpful. And it was really like, she's in a meet right now. She's in a virtual swim meet right now. And I'm thrilled for this kid. I'm really happy for her. And ever since I got the goddamn vaccine, I have a new lease on life. I like this rose-colored glasses.
Yeah. Shot of positivity. That's what you've had.
100%.
Good news for us all. Mareko.
I am looking forward to getting this knife shipped out and safely returned from Coop. It's always nerve-wracking sending knives out to be photographed and stuff and get them back, and hopefully they're all still in one piece. I also have a couple more, just more knives. So I've got one that's coming up that's got mokume on it. I got to figure out how I'm going to make this mokume work. Right now it's only thin enough kind of for a regular spacer with kind of like the mokume patterning on the edge, and it doesn't really show the mokume very well. So I'm trying to figure out if I need to nix that and go with something else. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll figure it out.
Nice. Well, I've had a week of glue-ups. So this week is going to be grinding those handles back down. But I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but my laser packed up. It blew up, literally blew up. Thankfully, we found it was only the power supply, we think. So they've sent me a replacement power supply, which I've got sitting here. So I need to put that into the laser tomorrow, and hopefully that's going to work again, because these knives, they're actually two restaurant orders, and I need to get these, their logos on, that kind of thing, so they can be shipped. So that'll be a big, you know, weight off my shoulders. If this laser works, these knives are finished, and they're shipped out, I'm in a good place. So, yeah, that's this week. So thank you all for listening. Thank you to our callers. We apologize if you couldn't get through.
Wait a second. Well, I see the messages. I see the messages from some of the people. And Bond Creek Forge, who just was on, just wrote, "Hey, you gave me the axe." Bond Street, you rule. You guys are awesome. It's so funny.
Yeah. It's all a joke. It's all a joke. If we are rude to you, we're very sorry. It's just part of the show. Part of the show. But thank you all very much for anybody who participated. If you'd like to participate next week, we'll put it up on our stories. And basically, we'll have a countdown. And then you just go into Instagram. As if you're going to DM us, but you'll see a little icon there for a camera, which means you call us. And if you call, you could get on the show. We could have some fun. But if you do, have a question or a joke or something. Don't try and sell your shit. Please.
We got enough sponsors.
Yeah.
Did we hit all the sponsors?
I think we did. Oh, God, I think damn. We did.
What about the vices? Is that for next week?
That's next week. Okay, So if you're listening, actually, the three of us have been sent these really cool clamps. So we're gonna be trying them out this week, and we'll review back next week. As good as that. Right. Thank you all for listening.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
That was fucking cool, dude. For a first try, that was really cool.
I was surprised we had so... At one point, whilst people were on a call, we had, like, multiple people trying to... Because Instagram now allows, like four people on a call now, I think.
Right.
So we're having other people trying to get into the call whilst we're on a call. It was, that was crazy.
Maybe if we do it next time, we should give the countdown, like, so it's, like, 20 minutes after we start. Or half an hour after we start.
I think that would probably... Because everybody tried on the hour, basically.
But it's. Yeah. But you know what? That was the first time doing it.
It was good fun.
That was awesome.
Technically, it's a bit of an issue because the way Instagram works, it wants to connect you via your phone. It doesn't do... Do you know, like, if you get a phone call on it, hands-free, it goes straight to your hands-free. But with Instagram, you need to then pick your audio source. So that's why it was that delay of a second when I first pick up.
We got calls from Europe, America, Canada, and Australia. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's mad. Absolutely.
That
mad.
Was you figured that out. That was amazing.
Do you know what we need to do? We need to call somebody up maybe next week. Just think of somebody and we'll call them up and see if we can just spook them out and just get them live. Yeah. That'd be quite cool.
I think we need to also for the listeners, it's just like you pick up the phone, "Hi, who's this?" And then, you know, maybe, I don't know, I got to figure out how to get them going. Sure.
Be ready to rock and roll.
No, I agree.
Also, maybe a time frame, because it seemed like you said, like we were still answering like the written in questions, but nobody was calling until the last little bit. Did you post another thing on Instagram, Jeff?
I posted another thing up on Instagram. Nice. That's why we got those last two calls. But... Yeah, we just need to time it all out and just be... And look, this is the first time we've ever taken phone calls. Yeah. We had, five or six phone calls?
Yeah, at least, yeah. Well, we could have had 30, I'm sure of it.
That's amazing.
Ringing.
That's amazing. And they sounded good.
Yeah. No, it was good. I was pleased with that. Yeah, very good. Very good.
That was fun.
I can relax a bit now.
Yeah. What kind of beer are you sipping on?
That IPA that I made, so I've still got quite a bit to go. Yeah. But in beer news, we started making the bar today in the pub, which is quite cool.
Oh, nice.
How'd it go?
So at any one point, we're going to have four different beers on tap, which is really cool.
Are you going to get like a dartboard in there or like a tomahawk range?
No, it's not quite that big. So there's the bar, then there's the room next to it, which is going to be like a lounge, and there's a big sort of like a booth. We're making, and there'll just be like a TV there for the sports games, and you know, big table for your beers and so on. So
nice. That sounds like cool. It's going to be so much fun.
Yes, it is. It is, and it's crazy that it's going to be finished like within 2 weeks, and we haven't really started on the house yet.
So when do you think you'll be moving in?
Priorities.
we're hoping by the end of the summer. There's loads to be done, but the issue we've got is getting tradesmen over here. It's The French have a different attitude towards work, and there's a lot of shrugging going on, and a lot of maybe in 6 months, maybe, and it's like,
oh wow,
yeah, it's hard to get people committed. Put it that way, yeah. But we'll get there. We'll get there.
That's fun.
That's good. So yeah, that was good. Yeah, I said maybe next week we'll give a time 20 minutes later. We can prime people a bit, so it's a case of, you know, come with a question or a joke or with something.
Say something.
You know, I just want to say hi, you know, which is fine. But, you know, if we have a few of them, it you know, where do we go with that?
Because we didn't really prep anybody. They just started calling. Yeah. They're just like, Tim Kingsford, God bless him. I mean, at least he was thinking on his feet. He's like, he drew that dilemma out. That was really like a real drawn out dilemma.
But it's funny because I see the video, you see. So I've got my phone on a stand here. So when they come through, I see their video and they can only see me. They can't see you guys. So when you're speaking, I'm just sitting here drinking a beer and they're chatting away. It's really, really weird. Really weird.
I'm amazed how good it sounded of them coming in.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pleased with that. It's good. Yeah. If I could stop that initial, when I change the settings each time we get a new call, if it saved the settings, that would be great. So maybe there's a way. I'll look into that. But yeah.
Dude, you did a great job. You figured that out. I can't believe you figured that out. Now all the other podcasts are going to start to do the same thing.
Oh, of course. Of course they are. Of course. Yeah.
They're going to do it. We're finally having live callers. That is such a breakthrough for us.
It feels more radio now. Yeah. You know, as opposed to us having our bits each week where, you know, we do our questions, then we'll do beefs or whatever we do. It feels a bit more sporadic now, and it's a bit more, ooh, what's going to happen next kind of thing, which was quite nice.
We could pose a question every week that we have the listeners, they'll be prepared for too. Like, we could ask them to have them have a question, like put up on, you know, in the stories, like, you know, anything. And so then they have like a point of view, like, what's your favorite? Today we're talking about what's your favorite, this or what do you think about this? And then we'll be on a degree of topic, you know?
Yeah. Something there's a bit of thought about. Gone onto it then. Yeah. Yeah. That'd be good.
Look at that. Unbelievable. I honestly was just like, oh, we're going to stop now. I was hoping we're going to take more calls. I was like, now getting into it.
Oh, I just thought this fucking edit is going to be a nightmare.
Why?
Because no, it's not, because I'm gonna take it all from the board, aren't I? Yeah, we'll forget what we recorded online. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I don't know why that happened, Mareka. Why it wasn't recording yours? That was weird.
It's always me. Weird. Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, it's good that you see. I mean, I changed the way my computer is, so I see it. I see everything now. So
yeah, but I don't have multiple buttons. I have one button to record, and it generally records everybody's. It's never happened before where one of the tracks wasn't being recorded, but we spotted it, which is good, so we know we've got the backup.
Because his service is good. I mean, his Wi-Fi is very good.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed at how good we sound, P.S.
It sounded great today, actually. Yeah, sounded really good. Really good.
We'll get used to this is for the first time taking callers. It's going to be a little bit awkward, but I mean, considering that's the first time we've ever done it, that was really fun.
I think we need to think of somebody and call them every week. And then they probably won't answer, but we keep calling every single week. And it'll either piss them off, or eventually they'll answer. And that'll be
hey,
great.
Man, what's holy up? Shit, that's hey, funny. Man, it's us. It's us. What's going on? What are you doing? It's us.
That could be funny.
Life talk.
Yeah. I think it's going to be after the elusive Nick Wheeler. It's going to have to be.
That might be the only way we get him on this show.
Maybe. We just bug him every week live.
Should we just forget start I calling did an interview Nick Wheeler? With him, right?
I know, of course. No, but no, I mean, no, no,
you
no,
mean
live.
With all of us. I got you.
Yeah. But what if we called him every week? Do you think he wouldn't like that?
Nick Wheeler's segment?
Do you think he wouldn't like
that? Where is he? What would the time be over there? We're not like waking
time
somebody
as me.
Up. We? Okay, so midday. Okay, that would be cool. That'd be cool. I think we should do it. We should start next week. Do the weekly Nick Wheeler.
Hey,
call.
What's going on, Nick? You all right? Everything good? You good?
If we get his voicemail, we'll leave a nice message then.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing, he's never gonna call. So he's never gonna answer. So that'll be even funnier, I think.
That would be funny, yeah. That'd be something if we maybe this time. Maybe if this is time he picks up.
Yeah. And funny. If he does, we move on to somebody else then.
No, he's just going to hang up on it. He's just going to go the
I like it. I like
you
it.
Are a demon. I fucking love how much of a demon you've turned into.
It's late at night, see. I've had a long day, and I'm, you know.
But this
I'm
is
just
fun.
Tired and irritable.
This is fun. So much fun.
That was good. Anyway, I'm going to love you and leave you both. And, yeah, I shall speak to you very soon.
All right, guys. Bye, thanks. Have a great week.
Yeah, good
chat. Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
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 This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.